The stream is preparing and it's not quite yet live, but you'll have a little indicator.
Hello and welcome everybody who may or may not be watching now or maybe watching later. And welcome to our continuing conversation about what it looks like to develop real partners at Creating the Future. And I am Hilde Gottlieb with Creating the Future. And if we want to go around and introduce yourself and tell something awesome that is going on in your life. And I'm going to start to the right of me with Rebecca Hurd.
Hello, Rebecca, beaming in from McCall, Idaho, where we are in the throes of winter and about to get another foot overnight of snow. Which is awesome. Yet my awesome is we are building a significant addition on our house. And being in the construction business, you do that often in what's not optimal times to be building homes. So the awesome is that we're building this addition to have space and place for family and friends to be here. And it's pretty amazing and awesome to do this in snowstorms. So.
It's crazy. Laura Steffen, what's awesome with you?
Hi, I am sitting here in Portland, Oregon, and my current awesome that my eyes fell on it while we were sitting here is this book. It's The Secret Life of Flies, which I heard the author speak on the radio, Erica McAllister. She was so funny, I had to get this book. And I'm kind of a squeamish person, so I'm surprised I like it. But the awesome thing is that I learned that if there were not a particular fly that pollinated the cacao plant, we would have no chocolate. So thank you, flies.
Well, it's
Thank you.
Makes perfect sense to go to Sergio now in South America to tell us what is awesome with you. Tell us where you are, Sergio, and what's awesome in your life.
Well, I have to share with you, being right here, right now, with you on this call and sharing and exchanging with these wonderful people, with the team there, and everything you guys are doing, and the warm welcome, and just not easy. Life is life. I mean, it's just the whole world is in huge turmoil and transformation. From Buenos Aires, I came down for 2 months, 14 years later. So basically, to set up an outsourcing firm, do technology, innovation, and change. Implementing technology for 20 years, computers 30. I appreciate, I'm just having a great time here with Hilde and the team. Just wonderful group of people connecting and working on building quality, better dialogue, just sharing the imagination and the possibility of something different.
Yay.
Thank you.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. And Shiva, what is awesome in your life? And tell us where you are and what's awesome in your life.
San Francisco Bay Area, where it's cloudy and it's supposed to pour like crazy and we cannot wait. So what's awesome? I had 6 days of relatives. As crazy and as exhausting as it is awesome to have the opportunity to strengthen relationships, to hear about their perspective, their experiences, and realize, you know, mine is just as ordinary as anybody else. And to understand that even if you don't see somebody for 25 years, there is a chance of getting back together and getting right back into it and building that relationship and continuing forward. And that's been awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Yay. Anne Vermel, where are you and what's awesome in your life?
Well, I'm in Fresno, California, where it rained yesterday and it's supposed to rain tomorrow. We look forward to that too in the desert. So it's really wonderful. What's awesome for me is that I'm 10 days away from launching the Readers Theater Project, and I did the values yesterday and I'm just floating. It's such a catalytic thinking project. and so fantastic. It's just amazing. So we will start with a story of Ursula Le Guin, the first two books of the new translation of The Odyssey, and The Night the Bed Fell by James Thurber.
and so tell us about Reader's Theater.
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like. There's no staging per se. We group, but we don't stage. It's focused really on the words, and it works with literature and oral interpretation. So it's, I think I explained this to somebody. There is a moment in the Odyssey where Penelope has been chastising all of the suitors. And then she goes to her quarters and it reads, Penelope wept. Now, you can read that six different ways, of course, and an awful lot of people tend to read it as though Penelope is grieving because Odysseus is not there. But if you say the word wept differently, you can express Penelope's absolute frustration with all of those men. And that is the thing that is so exciting to me about it, is that it's language, it's words, it's the depth and color and magic of just putting words on paper and then making them come to life. So that's right. Reader's Theater.
Ooh, wow. I want to come to Fresno. Wow. How awesome. And Dimitri, where are you?
Where could I possibly be? Now, I am in Tucson, Arizona as well. And it rained last night. It rained this morning. It was absolutely beautiful this morning. Looking outside, there's this row of little glass bottles that are used as an edging. And Hildy said, oh, come look at this. And it was the raindrops that were just bouncing on the little tops of the bottles as they were doing it, which is really amazing. And I don't know how much of the weather I want to talk about because I don't know what your awesome is, Hildy. So
go. I can always find an awesome.
There's snow on the mountains, and but it's going to be 70 tomorrow. So the snow is like 5 minutes. You know, it's going to snow, and so it's just amazing to have desert weather, which rats know what that's like, which is it could be absolutely freezing and cold and raining, and then the next day it'll be 50 degrees warmer, and all that is gone. So it makes you appreciate it a lot in that it's very ephemeral. And I wish for you, Rebecca, that it was ephemeral right now for you, but it's not. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not going away right away. So my awesome is the weather and just being with you guys.
Cool. Well, there's many awesomes swirling around here. And in addition to the weather, which is pretty awesome. Finally have winter in the desert here because we had summer weather. I know you guys in California had it too. It was summer for half of winter. So this is pretty delightful. But I guess one of my biggest awesomes is the work that we've been doing is all towards reconfiguring once again how we do online immersion in ways that asking the question, can we do a light version of immersion for people who don't have the time or the resources to dive in to the big, deep thing? And so we have been working and creating videos, which is what we've been working on to be able to sort of create a more self-paced and less intensive immersion. And there are 34 people taking that class right now. Which is just remarkable. And at the same time, not only taking the class and learning the stuff, but also we're able to ask them questions and say, okay, so how is this working? Because this is the first time we're teaching it. How is this working? And what would you do differently? And just really honing how we do, what the format is for teaching this content in a different way, in a lighter way than, all of you guys, with the exception of Sergio, who may be joining us soon, who knows, have been through our immersion courses and know what that is like. And looking at
congratulations, 3638, that's great.
Yep.
Congratulations, that's a good execution. No, congratulations, it takes lot of work, and it's a great starter group. So yeah, no, I'm looking at it. We can chat later. So definitely getting to know you as well. It takes a little.
Yep. So that's been what's awesome around here, and just developing the pieces, looking at what does it take to teach the practices in ways that people will learn it, practice it, get it, put it into practice in their lives, without dedicating in essence, you guys know, by the time you pull all of these pieces together, it's a year of classes. And okay, so if I don't have a year and I've got, you know, a little bit of time during 3 months, not every week like we've been doing, what does that look like? And how do we, you know, on our end, how do we teach it to make sure that it's effective? And it's just been a gift to have all of these people who are participating and helping, and everything from the classroom page isn't working. You do know this isn't working. It's like, oh, good. Somebody can tell us I'm not getting the emails. Okay. That's great to know. This is so, Laura, you'll be happy to know we are jotting down every single system we can come up with systems and protocols. And your name is coming up probably every 10 minutes. That goes on the Laura list. So, just grateful for all of you guys, grateful for the conversation, and grateful for everybody who has been helping us figure out how to teach this new class. So, let us dive in to the next question in our quest to figure out what will it look like as we start sleuthing and meeting people and engaging people in the conversation of what we're doing. I had a fabulous conversation yesterday with a woman I met in Montreal almost 3 years ago at a conference. We just kept bumping up against each other and didn't have time to really get to know each other, but got that feeling that you get when you meet somebody and you go, there's something there. Yesterday was the first time we had the opportunity to actually talk. And she is she has got her doctorate in organizational psychology. And so it really is pulling together a lot of the different things that the framework accomplishes, overlaid with organizational structure and so much just related to the stuff that we're doing here. And it was just delicious. It was one of those examples of what we're looking for in conversations when we go out and start engaging people, because we were speaking the same language from the minute we had the conversation. And so while we had a sense that there was something in common, we had never had that conversation. We had never, she wasn't really familiar with all of the ins and outs of what Creating Future is trying to do. And it just clicked for her instantly. And what I'm feeling right now as we're diving into what would good look like and what are the outcomes that we want it's sort of that when Harry met Sally moment. I want what she's having. It would be so delightful if it was like that when it clicks and they go, oh yeah, I get it, and we can do that and this. So I just wanted to share. That was really sort of fun yesterday, especially after spending all of this time in front of a computer doing nothing but typing and talking head and voiceover. And I talked to a real human and who understood what we're doing. So that was sort of fun.
Just a story that came up that's tied to partnerships. Yesterday, I was talking to a member of our Creating the Future community. We had a wonderful visit, catching up with each other. And she shared that the company she does work in has goals. And so much of the focus is on growth. Yet it's very apparent the human toll. There's carnage everywhere, every day. And she gets emails telling her, your focus is on goal three. Your focus is on goal three. And I couldn't have come up with mashing these words together if I had dreamed of it. Goal three is to dominate through partnerships. I found that very amusing so as we ended, I just said, dominate, yet dominate in partnerships together. It's an interesting mix.
I've got nothing. Okay, so our meeting can be over. We now have what our highest potential is.
Marching orders.
Domination. This is... I got nothing. I totally got nothing. Coming back to center here. Coming back to where we left off last time. When last we saw our hero, I did a post summarizing the outcomes and the strengths and the values that we talked about last time through the lens of catalytic listening. You know, it's so fun because the lesson that Dimitri and I have been working on for the class right now has been catalytic listening. And it's really joyful to know that you can be using catalytic listening anywhere and that we can use it in a meeting. And so that was sort of fun. What we had talked about was desired outcomes of creating creating relationships as a radical act. More people in deep relationship with each other where connection is the goal. Being in authentic conversation and relationship around our vision, noting that the incentive is the vision for a more humane world where systems are all bringing out the best in us. And inviting people to join this community where every person is valued for who they are and where we strive to walk the talk of systems that bring out the best in us. I thought a place for us to start the conversation of high potential. And actually, I want to take a step back and for anybody who is watching either right now or after. And Dimitri, can you just keep an eye on the Twitter stream? Mm-hmm. If you are watching and would like to tweet to us, if you've got any comments or thoughts, the hashtag is creating the future, all shoved together. If you've got any thoughts, share your awesome, tell us where you are and share any thoughts at the hashtag. We are using catalytic thinking, using the framework to walk through a plan for what we call sleuthing, which is engaging people by asking questions and finding out who they are and exploring together, finding commonalities, finding our ability to learn and explore together. And last time we started where everything starts, which is listening, catalytic listening, and moving into, okay, so what will sleuthing make possible? What will that sleuthing process make possible, and especially for whom? Because we do know that causality happens whether we like it or not. There's going to be results of anything that we create, and it's going to be results on whoever is impacted. And what happens when we are not mindful about asking what will this make possible and for whom, then those for whom we did not plan get slammed because we call it unintended consequences. And it's unintended consequences because we never thought, oh, that could actually affect them. And so we are going to be asking, what will our sleuthing make possible and for whom? And so let's start with the for whoms. The obvious for whom that's occurring to me is the people that we are inviting to engage with. Whether or not they engage, we are going to be asking people, inviting people to conversation. Some of them will say yes, and some of them will say no. But that invitation is going to be a ripple that we're putting out there. So in the what does this make possible, who will be affected by our efforts in sleuthing? Invitees, whether they say yes or no. Who else?
Basically, it's opening that door. I've been exploring a lot from the mindfulness space. The social code, the social construct is highly complex, and the level of communication and exchange needed, it's just there's the agent is important in that you have an ability to store this much data. I really like Terence McKenna that talks about how culture is your operating system and language is your code, and the stories we tell are like the programs. And so as we upload, download, have a buffer overruns and all that sort of stuff, and life goes along, it's in that construct, listening and being able to connect and creating cadence, and taking an interest in the other person as a basis to understanding and knowing who they are. So it's to build a relationship of quality and value, where you're obviously it's the one, the others, and the together.
What I'm hearing you talking about stories, Sergio, is that one of the for whoms that would be affected by our sleuthing effort is someone not only who is in the story, who we are connecting with, but the people who may be reading and or hearing the story afterwards. And so as we've been talking about documenting our stories, the people who are reading after are going to also be our for whoms. Who else is going to be impacted by this sleuthing effort?
I would say we are.
We are.
I'll just say us.
Us.
And who are the us? Who are the us? And tell me more about what you're thinking.
Well, I'm thinking anybody who's actually involved in the mechanics of it. And the whole creating the future universe, you know, because the reality of it is anytime you make a new relationship, and even if that relationship is just as part of wanting to know whether there is an interest or not, right? Anytime you open those doors, you cannot help but to be affected by what people say. And like anything else, some of it would be great and some of it is going to be not so great. So what we just have to be cognizant of the fact that opening doors will open us to all kinds of input, and that input is going to change us.
Opening doors will open us. Yes.
I also think about... Well, it pretty quickly jumps to the entire universe, right? Because when you think about any potential partner, whether they are a community benefit organization or a university or an anything, they have some kind of constituency, some kind of community, some kind of people, a bunch of people around them. And so we can potentially touch all of those people. And if you keep doing that, we pretty quickly got the entire planet. So
done.
And how are we going to dominate
it? Totally. It brings to mind the story. What was it? Dominate and what? Dominate and relate?
Dominate through
partners.
Dominate through partners. No, partners, the connection. There is a wealth and an abundance through collaboration and working together that's just gigantic. That's the largest challenge. As soon as you start working together, learning to delegate and working as a team is really a complex dynamic. Understand the interpersonal skills and build the leadership framework to bring together, like in this case, creating the future, and this meeting here, Hildy, Dimitri, Rebecca, everybody, it takes a conscious construct and an ability and a skill set that is obviously teachable and shareable, but it's really an ability, no?
It is, and we have the framework to guide us. So,
well, on the teachable and shareable, given that we're in the business of documenting and sharing real time, all that we're learning, when I think of a for whom, it's the endless number of people out there who may not know there's a different way of being with people, because if you're in an organization that says, this is how we go seek partners in that transactional sense, could see that there is a different way of being, and it's all out there to explore and to have a conversation with us.
What the sleuthing process makes possible is the people who are watching the process develop, not even once we start sleuth. Yes, yes, yes.
Well,
And who may only watch that, who may only, as the story gets told and as we document and whatever, 5 years from now, that may be the discrete piece that, yes. Thank you, Rebecca.
The what and the how, I think, Elizabeth, that was very well said. I like your practical look. I've been listening to some of the videos and looking back and following a little bit the trajectory of the group. And I think it's what we've been working on is like a meta language where we can start working together, where we construct a common agreement and this meta of what and how and whom, which is such an important defining factor, everybody different, instead of fit into the same square box prison of not the transaction. The transaction's got to be dead because it's just not sustainable. I did a lot in the subprime market. We were the third largest affiliate. I'm very lifestyle marketing and the electronic tools for consumption are very powerful to get people in debt and problems. These are instruments, marketing. I look at some of the advertisement and it's just really just pollution for the brain. Just spend money focused on the transaction, which is unhealthy for the human's mind and spirit. It got us here, but now it's more about the processes and how we start doing things together. And obviously the team is fundamental. I mean, it's about an alliance and a connection and a friendship too, as we are here and share this amazing adventure.
indeed. You know, as you're talking, Sergio, I'm thinking about, Laura, you were talking about the ripples of the people that we talk with and the for whom in there also is creating the future's mission. Is accomplishing creating the future's mission, because those ripples are our mission. What's interesting as we're talking is I'm seeing sort of some forks here. When I mentioned there's the invitees, the people that we invite to conversation, there's going to be the people that say yes and the people that say no. And then of the people that we talk to, as you were talking, Rebecca, it was reminding me that of the people we talk to, there's the people that are going to partner with us and the people that are not. And so right in there, just in that very, very close circle, there's so many different, okay. It's so interesting that when I'm thinking about normal efforts like this, you're aiming at the one who's going to say yes. And you're saying thanks, but no thanks to all the people who are going to say no. Okay, you don't want to have a conversation, bye, we'll never talk again. You don't want to partner with us, bye, we'll never, or we'll put you on our email list. But you know, we have this wonderful opportunity, and I'm glad we're talking about this. The for whom's are always the most interesting for me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or maybe from a, Go ahead,
Rebecca.
Go ahead.
For each person we invite to conversation, wherever they are in those forks, is they're going to tell us other people. Because it's the ripples, yet it's also the intentional ripples of, well, you know what? This may not be my space, yet here are seven people I want to connect you with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about building the connection. I read somewhere really interesting, and I've been using the terminology connect and create. You bring the people together. You bring like what Hildy's doing through creating the future. The implementation of the model, I see the talk and the walk, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's great. Everybody executing every day, you know, you have to deliver. Totally, and I see that in all of you, and also it's that transparency and part of the more human interaction. We need to be kinder with each other and give people the space to grow and share and work together.
So what I've got as a list of for whom's in the forks of forks, we've got the people we invite to the conversation who say yes, who say no. The people who say yes, forking into those who may want to become partners, those who don't. There's the people who read the stories of both this process that leads to sleuthing and the stories of what we learn in the sleuthing process. There is all of us who are doing the sleuthing and walking this road to create the process. And Shiva, I love opening doors will open us. The ripples of the people that we talk with, and from there creating the future's mission as sort of a for whom, And I think that's it. Any others that are coming to you guys' mind?
I'm sorry, just a quick detail. I'm thinking there's also going to be a group of people who are going to come to us on their own without us inviting them. You know, there's going to be a group that are going to hear through somebody, and we won't go knocking on their door, but they might come knocking on ours because they're curious.
Yes.
And so that's going to be another group.
Yep.
I wanted to add, it's wonderful feedback. Also, the message is the attractor. So basically, when I did a quick analysis, I haven't had much time, and it's more about learning and education and the process. It's not about a quick learn fast, you know, you're going to, so basically, and the process that I've been looking at, help together participate and all that, which I think is maybe going to be a little bit slow at the beginning because it's going to throttle, it's going to make a smaller group, a smaller sample. It's more complex, but it's good in the sense that it would weed out or create or bring a certain segment that then we can change and transform. Because if you change the color and the back and the, we can connect with all the different groups. So that, you know, that wave that we're producing, all the elements are definitely there and everything's really aligned. It's the quality of work that you're executing, and these online chats and all that is just excellent. See the process function, see you execute it at really a high level of performance. It's a competitive environment. We need to be, from a human standpoint, we need to be highly active and competitive, be able to execute properly in this complex environment. And these models help out.
The interesting thing about it being a competitive environment is that that's not where we play. We don't look at competition. We look at anybody who is doing work we're doing. We want to know them and work with them. And so it is an interesting dynamic that has been placed upon organizations, the assumption that they will compete.
I agree with you 100%.
That we will not. And
I agree. It's through collaboration that we're working. I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think that the competition is in the channel. Maybe my mention is in the social channel to communicate with people and reach the right people. I'm sorry for cutting up, but that was just the context I was thinking it of as a way to connect and which people you're connecting with.
Gotcha.
Okay. No. Yeah, totally. The quality of your stuff, I think it's very well aligned, and your exchange with me has been of the utmost quality in coming together and bringing out the best in each other. So let's keep going.
I'm unfortunately short on time today with a short meeting, Sergio. So I'm going to cut you off and let's go to the questions of for all of these for whoms. What will our sleuthing make possible? What will this process of engagement make possible? Pick one, the people that we invite, the people who we have the conversations with, us, I don't care where you go, whichever one it excites you, pick one and let's go with it. How about let's start at the people who whom we invite, who decide that they want to have a conversation with us. So whether that is, let's do this even differently. Not only the people, because Shiva, I love your point. Anybody with whom we wind up having a conversation, a first conversation, whether they come from on their own or whether we have invited them, the people with whom we are going to have even just a first conversation, what does that make possible for them?
I think it will make possible for them to be heard and to be excited to be seen and heard in maybe a different way than they ever have been before.
Talk more about different way.
So it's not going to be a kind of a standard networking meeting. Like, oh, let's get together for coffee. And then you get together and they're like, okay, what's your title? and what do you do, and what do you need? And this is me, and this is my title, and this is what I need. So how can we, how can you help me? Like, that's kind of their standard. That's a frequent standard understanding. And I imagine that having a conversation with us, with anyone using the creating the framework or catalytic thinking framework, it will be a breath of fresh air, frankly. They'll be excited to at least hear about it, even if it's not something that's on their wavelength. No matter what the outcome is, whatever the action, if there is an action item after that, that they're appreciative and excited about the time that they spent, that they said yes to.
I'm thinking about the creating relationships as a radical act. I mean, it really is. It's just so much of what you're saying, Laura. And the thought that's occurring to me is we're having a conversation because we want a conversation, not because we want a thing from them. And what you're really talking about in that networking thing is, I clearly want something from you, which is why we're having the networking. I'm assuming you want something from me, and let's just put that out on the table, and that's what we'll talk about. Yeah, beautiful.
I'm hearing, I
think it's that notion of coming to people and saying, I want you to be engaged with me in this process of creation.
What does that make possible for them?
Well, if somebody came to me and said, I want you to be here to help create something together, I mean, my first thought would be, wow, they're asking me? You know, it's a notion of, I mean, you feel, immediately you feel like you matter. There is value to you. There's value to who you are, what you know, what you do, what you're capable of,
yeah.
Right? So just in going to somebody and asking that question, you're bringing that sense of, I see you, you matter, I value you.
Laura's saying, you heard.
Right. And then I think the next part of it is to actually say, come create with me. Is a different thing than saying, come partner with me in this vision that I have and I want to go forward with.
One is right. Zero sum, and the other is unlimited potential.
Well, one is partner in my vision,
mm-hmm.
and one is...
That's creative.
Oh, yeah. It's an us.
And I think when we do that, if we say that, then that is where they need to truly feel that we are, that's truthfully what we want, right? That's that authentic connection. I'm not coming here because I want you to back me up,
yeah.
Right? In what I have been wanting to do for all these years. I'm coming here because I want you to create with me and I want to create with you because I value you, because I think you're capable of so much that I am either not capable alone, or you're the only one who's capable of doing.
Yeah, and it's not asking for help. I loved your emphasis on those words. It's not, will you help me? It's, let's build something together. There's a let's versus a yeah. And so often, It happens in both ways. So often people are coming with hat in hand saying, will you help me?
Right.
Or somebody is coming to them saying, I can help you, the savior sort of thing. And I thank you, Shiva. This is beautiful. Anne, what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking very much along similar lines, but one of the things that I was is a little bit of an addition is the fact that what this makes possible for them is the realization that they are not alone and that there are other people who have been thinking along similar lines. And so what may happen is they start sparking.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, I was saying it's very similar to when people participate in our immersion learning, the joy in finding your peace. This is the same joy in finding your peace, and also to be honored with, I'm genuinely curious about you, but I maybe I want to learn from and with you is truly honoring the person we're asking to get to know each other.
Yes. Boy, writing down what you guys are like, the exact words you guys are saying is so, everything is all good stuff today, all good stuff. What else will that first conversation make possible for the person with whom we have the conversation?
I think about it, maybe this is sort of the same thing we've already said, but the opportunity to say no to like so, and when I think about that, I think of a conversation with one of us, and I say us, the broad picture of us, will allow enable support someone in articulating what they believe in and what they want and what's important to them. And therefore they may decide that we're not going on a second date. And yet they've had this wonderful opportunity to remember themselves.
I would add to that, the ability to say no is wonderful, but so is the ability to think about it later and change your mind. And so there is something in that possibility as well.
Well, there's what we're not asking for any but anything for them to have to say no to, except maybe another conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even that's
Think, oh, but I'd love to ask that person this one question. So you come back,
Yeah.
Well, it's about relationship, and it's about creating, in essence, the opportunity for a friendship where you are truly interested in who this other person is, and the both the zero sum and transactional world that we live in, that's not what your expectation is. So there is a kind of a, and you talked about it, Laura, with the networking meeting. There's an expectation that it is transactional, that you are there because this network has been set up to benefit each one of you. That's why you're there, to benefit you, as opposed to you having a concern of benefiting them. That it's a very, it's sort of a more mature way of humanity. I mean, when you think about children growing up, part of their learning to love and do whatever is to know that they're cared for, so they can express it in return. So when you walk into something like this and you are caring for them, they will gladly return it, as opposed to a tit for tat. So I think that that's a an interesting outcome of this, is that the potential for that.
I also think about it though, when I say the option to say no, maybe it's more thinking of maybe it's my old language stuck on me, but the helping them understand that there are many ways to partner, there are many ways to collaborate, and that may mean them simply being learning more about what we do. And that could be enough. Like I think about my own experience. I did the immersion almost 3 years ago, and it wasn't until this last year where I felt like, okay, now I want to get more deeply involved because I frankly was kind of overwhelmed by all the stuff everyone was doing. It was like, I cannot step up to the level I want. So I'm gonna decline, or I'm gonna stay back until I'm feeling ready. And so I think about it that way, like, what are all the what it makes possible is that those people will be invited at whatever level or whatever
You
step.
meet them where they are.
Like you
There
say.
we go.
It's the one-to-one. It's the one-to-one. Great look on the variables, because today you got 10 minutes and you jump on board, and probably you don't have time for, because everything's happening, health situations, whatever, the world turning. And so basically it's, I think it's that one-on-one. I think it's a part of that question at the beginning where we open up to understand who they are and just come together right where they need it.
I was thinking along with Sergio was saying about, you know, the pace in the world is our invitation to a conversation is an invitation to slow down. Maybe to pause, and
totally. I'm sorry. I just got Hildy. We went a little bit through that right now where I was coming in at high speeds and, hey, let's do this and let's do that. And Hildy really helped me because there's that. Oh, yeah, totally. That really, I was hearing you laughing, and that's what I miss a lot in the traditional work environments where everybody's battling all the time.
and the reason I'm laughing, and Rebecca knows exactly why I'm laughing, is we have a rule around here that if there's no laughing, then something's really wrong or we need to fix it.
I was watching the dynamics. I was watching the rule set as you were fixing the technology issues. This is a little bit the wild, wild west. So I'm seeing you articulate as a team. And then when everybody saw that it was sort of resolved, there was like a moment of just friendship and laughter. Everybody here is doing what we're so lucky to be doing what we want to do.
Yep.
We're blessed and sharing this conversation. You know, I listened to all of you talk, Dimitri, Rebecca, and I'm getting with all the names. It takes me a little bit. And as we, you know, schedule into very busy because, hey, this is some really quality time here and some quality people. The format is just wonderful. And so, yeah, just
what that good. Speaks to, though, in terms of the people that we have conversations with is them feeling that yes, the absolutely the slowing down. If nothing else, how many, and you know, this gets to what you were saying earlier, Laura, how many of the conversations that we have during the workday do we go home and say, I had the best time? and there is not a meeting we have at Creating the Future that we don't say, Dimitri and I, at the end of the day, we share what was awesome. And sometimes that was, we had three of the most awesome meetings today. Who the hell says that stuff? And so the ability for the people that we meet with to just experience a joyful hour. And I think that another thing that's coming out as you guys are talking is, and we've said it in a variety of ways, and you were talking about, you know, they start sparking, they're not alone. I think there's a piece there because we're so intentional about language. What I frequently encounter when I talk to people is them saying that you just put words to the thing that I've been thinking, and them being able to start articulating on their own stuff that has been stuck in their heads and they don't have words for, but there's a thing about, yeah, the articulation part, Ms. Words, Ms. Read the theater of reading.
I think that's like the central piece to make it. When I look at the team and the communication, the team and the organization has a great proposal. I like now learning more of the details, how you're really executing all the different pieces. And so altogether, a high level of reflexivity, a healthy work environment where I can see talent expresses itself. It's been really positive for me in slowing down. So basically, Hildy and we and our conversation has been full of just quality exchange. And I think that's fundamental. It's all plastered in black and white. I mean, what's the difference? Hey, you know, let's have a great time.
Okay, so
It's casual Wednesday in Buenos Aires. Sorry.
That's okay. Shiva, what have you got?
So I'm just wondering, if I'm meeting with somebody for the first time, I want to meet them over a cup of coffee and a delicious piece of pastry. You know, and to me, that conversation over a cup of coffee is so, it's almost elemental. It's almost like the way humanity has always related to each other, right? From the beginning, we break bread together. And in that act, I think you automatically feel the humanity of the other person, right? Because they're just as hungry as you are. They have the same needs. They have the same, you know, the same thing would satiate them. And so I keep thinking, just having that opportunity for me to sit with somebody over a nice cup of coffee and feeling their humanity, and right there, I've had a great hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's a holding, you know, the term we use, holding space. I think it's really holding space for the other person, and that they can relax. You know, something you were talking about, Sergio, in terms of, to paraphrase, there's sort of this frantic, you know, need to express knowledge, express whatever. And in what you're describing, Shiva, it does, none of that is important. It's just to be together. And you know, to kind of, you know, hold that other person, which gives them a moment to breathe and relax. And you know, since, you know, I've been working on the listening video for days here, you know, I think about all of the brain chemicals that are triggered in fight or flight, and how that is culturally, you know, it's like turned up to high all the time, you know, in terms of what we're doing. So it's just, I think that this allows that to go away, or if not go away, but to not be the primary function that's going on.
Anne's head just went, dip, dip, dip.
Well, I was just thinking, I mean, something that you said, Shiva, that really kind of took me back to, I once remember wishing that my very Presbyterian or Methodist family had had more of a Jewish kitchen table situation, where people just sat around and had coffee and the children sat under the table and learned. And I think what you're saying about having the coffee and the delicious pastry is that you're actually giving the other person an experience in slowing down. That moment is safe. And that means that you actually have already opened a door to a new way of being with someone. So,
yeah.
Thinking that if someone may feel, there may be some element of surprise, because even as inviting as our invitation might be, someone may show up with their assumptions because of how every other conversation has always gone. So somewhere in the conversation or after in reflection is that shift in their thinking about these, well, I thought it was going to be this, even though they said it was really to get to know me, I thought, and then this delightful surprise that happened when it actually was what the invitation was asking them to engage in.
And sometimes, and I have to say, having spent so much time both representing funders as their representative out in the world and working with funders as humans, and as just people taking classes as friends, sometimes that wall never goes away, because there has been such mistrust built over such a long time, because they know that at some point you're going to put your hand in their wallet, and it might not be now, and it might, so is it like three meetings in that you're going to ask me, or is it six meetings in? And There is such a sense of suspicion. I have a colleague who I like to think of as a friend, who I like to pick up the phone every 6 months or so and just say, here's what we're doing. You have the best brain I know. Dump all over me. And every single time, this person has amazing ideas. I love doing, it's sleuthing. I love being with this person. And every single time the conversation ends with, and you know, we're not looking for new partners right now. There's that wall. So where there may be surprise in some of it, In some of it, okay, so if it's that person, what does this conversation make possible for that person who is in that place?
It starts chipping away at that wall.
Yeah. And that's where there's not a missed opportunity to be a part of all of this. Because that person, you know, I think you spoke of too, Laura. It's not like come down to let's have a date. Are we going to make a match or not? It's because it's the invitation to even check out creating the future, see what we're about. And, you know, if you want to have another conversation, it's such an open invitation to engagement. It's not in any rigid structure.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that component that's added here is the openness of the information. That one of the other things that happens is you become aware of the fact that this meeting is, you know, we're talking about this right now. This is on our, you know, at a blog post, and somebody can come back and look at it 2 years from now and see where the thinking came from and how it evolved and the fact that it is open, that it is accessible. I think that's a real important, difference. I don't want to do this in a comparative sense, but it is an important different reality for what they're accustomed to.
The thing that made my head just go was the what it makes possible for the people that we are talking to, even if that's the only conversation and they, as Laura said, say no, I don't have time for more conversations. This was great. Can I go back to work now? The ability to show them along the way what has been built upon and with what they shared with us. So you had this really, wow, okay, we hadn't even thought about that. And I just want to let you know, 6 months later, we've talked to 40 people and three others of them thought of that same thing that you thought of. And we're starting to take this avenue because whatever it is, but that even if they don't believe they're, quote, signing on to co-create, to be able to honor the conversation on an ongoing basis. So again, that's that surprise piece, Rebecca, is really, I'm hearing from you? Wow, okay, really? And I'll tell you, having done sleuthing like this to build, this is gonna be the third time in terms of organizations. The number of people with whom we will talk, who we will be frantically writing down everything they say because the pearls that are dropping from their mouths, we can't capture it fast enough. And at the end of the hour, they will look us in the eye and they will say, I'm not sure anything I gave you was helpful. Consistent, absolute consistent. I mean, some of the, and it's frequently the ones where at every point you're trying to scribble down everything they said, and they, I'm really not sure it was very helpful for you. And you're like, so I think there's a big piece about the fact that we're building wisdom upon wisdom, and that we're being very open about that. As you said, Dimitri, that the whole piece that we're sharing it doesn't just make possible for the people who read it later, but what does that make possible for the person who contributed to that information?
Well, if they want more, the more, they don't even have to meet with you again to have access to the more. And I think that's a really interesting, and it's welcome. I mean, we all, you know, in the age of the internet, we can all go look up anybody and anything and whatnot, but this is an invitation to do that, not a, you know, sort of clandestine, I've done my research on someone.
Yeah.
What you just said reminded me of the times, and just going back to my own, you know, when somebody has come to me and said, what do you think about this, right? I want to run this idea by you. I want to get your input and all of that. And what that makes me feel is, wow, somebody thinks that highly of me.
Right.
Somebody needs me,
right?
And this, and I think maybe this comes with age, maybe it just comes with my age and my gray hair, I don't know. But this, that notion, as you grow older, you really want to have the opportunity to share your experiences and share your wisdom. right? And that's why so many of us become mentors and become coaches and become advisors and all of that, because for a lot of people, this is the way they make a living. But also it gives you that sense of, you know, what I have to bring to the table is valuable. And I think even if we talk to people one time, but in that interaction, we are really completely open to hearing from, as you do so, you know, naturally with people, this notion of I'm here to learn from you, right? Then the value of that interaction and what it gives them and how they feel about it could engage them in itself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They care about what they say, what I say. They want to know what I think. They want to know how I would do this, right? So I think that in itself is a great engager. But we have to be extremely truthful in that approach. Right?
Exactly. Not
that because we know they're going to feel like this, but we really want to learn from them.
You know, I'm reflecting on the conversations that Rebecca has on the ski lift, and they all start with, so what do you do? So are you retired that you're skiing in the middle of the week? So what do you do? And the conversations that Rebecca immediately turns around from that and creates in the 12 minutes it takes to get up the hill, an engaged conversation. And someone will have experienced catalytic thinking by feeling what it feels like to be on the other end of it. And that's the more please. That's the yes. And just as several of you were saying, they may not do the more please in another conversation, but they may go to the website and they may watch a video and they may watch. And so, yeah. Another thought that's occurring to me, and it has to do with what it makes possible for the people doing the sleuthing, is that our practice is going to be on steroids. That we are going to be practicing catalytic listening, especially in just, you know, hours at a time. We're going to be practicing using the whole framework as we prep for conversations and practicing, and each time it's going to be different, and practicing catalytic listening as we're sitting. And, you know, sometimes somebody's going to go off on something that has nothing to do with anything, and they know what you should do. And we get to do the take a sip of coffee thing and hold space and tell me more and practice our listening. I think there's just a huge opportunity for practice.
You know, I just want to key off of that just briefly, Hildy. Years ago, when we were forming the first diaper bank, and we did this, we went out and we talked to people in the community, and we knew, you know, we were experts. We knew how it should be done. And as we talked to people, it became clear that maybe we didn't really know how it should be done, and it evolved into something completely different. But there were numbers of times that we would talk to somebody who we had heard that same thing 15 times. But it was really, we realized it was really important to not say, yeah, we already heard that. No. It was really important to let them tell you what they feel is important and to honor them for having told you that. And there were so many times that later on, that having done that, that person says, oh, that was really great. But you know what? You should really talk to Bob or Mary. And that would not have happened had we at that point said, we already know it all. You know, we already heard this, whatever. It was honoring them for what they had to offer. So I think
it's the being authentic and really wanting, the asking is not lip service. And it's not, we see this as a technique for getting in front of you. It is really, it's really catalytic listening. It really is asking because we want to know and we want to connect. Let's talk. I want to be mindful of time here. Let's talk about those of us who are doing the sleuthing. What will these conversations make possible for those of us who are having the conversations, who are initiating the conversations? And we mentioned practice.
I would say a ton of personal growth.
Give me more.
Well, you know, every every interaction brings with it new ideas, new ways of looking at things, perspectives that you didn't have, you had never heard of before. You know, getting to know other people and what life is like for them, whether they just tell you about their work situation or whatever they choose to share. And every one of those helps you grow and become and evolve. You can't help but to do that. Yeah. You can't close yourself. If you're not going to listen to people, you might as well not ask any questions.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example of that. You just earlier today, Shiva, said something about come create with me. And I put a big circle around that because I'm launching a whole creative project. That's exactly what I need to say.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
That's awesome. And I'm really joyous.
I love it. You know, I'll share with you guys where the roots of the, you know, we always use the diaper bank model in, when we're talking about collective enoughness, because it's so easy to wrap your arms around, where it is the model of building an organization entirely on shared resources. And the diagrams of it and everything are in the Pollyanna principles. They're out in the world quite a lot. I don't even know if the diaper bank's website still has it, because they're not like that anymore. But where that came from was our sleuthing. And Dimitri mentioned that we, you know, this was our first foray into building a community benefit organization. We'd built businesses before, but we'd never built a community benefit organization. And we were consultants, so we knew our stuff. We were the experts. And so we had on our desk the paperwork to file for our tax exemption, because we knew exactly what we were going to do. But we also knew with our consulting hat what we would tell a client to do, which is go out and talk to everybody. And so we went out and we did our sleuthing. And to the one, every person we talked to said, do we really need another agency here in town? And we just kept saying that we're about to build the first diaper bank in the universe. So what exactly are you afraid of duplicating? And so we would have the conversation. We would go down, we would explain. And it got to the point where we looked up and realized we're having all of these conversations with these really smart people, and we're going out and asking them their thoughts because we think they're smart. And yet we're telling all of them, we're right and you're wrong. There's definitely something wrong here. And so at some point, I locked myself in the conference room with about as much whiteboard as we've got back here, maybe more. And I started to ask the questions, what's really at the heart? What are they really talking about? And if it weren't for those conversations, that model never would have been invented. And so when you talk about it, that's the first thing I flashed on Shiva. It changed the way my brain works. Those conversations changed the way my brain works. And I locked myself in the conference room and 2 hours later came out, and that model, I still have the original piece of paper I drew it on because it looks exactly the same. But yeah, I so appreciate what you said, because it just literally changed how my brain worked. What else will this make possible for those of us who are doing the engaging and asking?
It's building a team. I mean, not that we already aren't close and on, but the more we share these stories, the stronger the connection becomes between all the people who are doing this.
So co-support. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gives us hope in this. We've been talking about this and working toward this for a very long time. And we're now ready to move to action.
Anne?
Well, I think you have to let me pass on this one. I'll think it through a little further before I go on.
Oh, so you don't want to sound like me babbling?
No, it's not even that I'm afraid to sound stupid. It's just that it's still sort of unformed.
I get it. Totally get it.
You have to mature it a little bit, add a little bit more water, maybe trim a little bit here and look at it again, give it a little love.
What else will this make possible for those of us who are out there asking the questions?
Or the opportunity to be part of a creative process.
Mm-hmm. And what does that make possible?
I'd like to interject that from a personal standpoint, participating in the design parameters of this project, the quality and the caliber of people, for me is just a huge learning experience. Just the execution alone. Mm. There's the what and the how. So in the how, and just this for me, it's just been and sharing and being part of the team. I feel really like huge happiness and just like the caliber of possibility and the quality of the output. So as part of the language too, to build better and connect with everybody, really indistinct of the nature of the relationship, but the parameters the same.
So the benefit is two things. Is one, the learning from the process, the design process, and just the sense, as we've all been saying in different ways, of the connection, of knowing that we're going to get together in 2 weeks and we get to see each other and we get to learn what springtime looks like in Buenos Aires and we get to find out how Rebecca's edition is going in the snow. So there's the connection and the learning.
Totally. I found on the Facebook community that It's just wonderful how people are helping each other out and understanding that it's hard everywhere. I think it was Rebecca. I think everybody mentioned at some point that it's just difficult everywhere. Down here in BA, it has its challenges as well. So, you know, we're all in that day-to-day struggle and linking up and connecting. I think part of the tools is the possibility to connect and like-minded people as we explore the challenges we face together and start looking at things from a different perspective. The process is fundamental. And I'm closing out my thought, and I apologize, that shift to abundance, it's being able to manage that abundance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see the abundance is already there. It depends on your abilities to access it.
Yep. And there's a really good point in there in that we all, as we're talking about engaging people as potential partners, there's decades of habit of scarcity thinking. And the reinforcement in this process of, oh yeah, that's not where we're going. We're going here. Sometimes that just little thing. It's another piece of the practice, but it's practicing that. Oh, good. One of the things I'm thinking about is the new framework of what creating the future is going to look like. The new structure, and what we keep talking about is that the hubs will be places that people come together to find resources and to find each other. And I think that part of what this whole process makes possible for those of us who are going to do the sleuthing is that connecting with each other again and the joy of sharing the stories. Because sometimes you're on a path like this, you're on a journey, and you know you can share with your spouse, I did this really cool thing and I met with this really cool person. But there's something when you're with your peeps who are all doing that and they're the ones co-creating it, there's a different excitement than when you're talking to your mate or whomever. So
I want to sort of get back and answer the question you asked.
I'm gonna put you on hold, Shiva, and go to Anne, and then Shiva.
I just was thinking.
Hold your thought.
Hope. It reaffirms hope, and that's something that we all need. And so every time you meet someone new and listen to them and share catalytic thinking with them, no matter how they respond, even if they're one of those people who say, oh, I don't believe in that bullshit, you know, the fact is that it just strengthens your ability to hope, which these days is really necessary. So, and I suspect probably always is.
You know. Yep. Yes. Yeah, and there is, you know, it's reminding me, because you mentioned hope, Rebecca mentioned hope, regardless of what their reaction is what you just said, but there's energy that comes off of, and I'm thinking about Rebecca's conversations again. You know, every time you're on the ski lift and somebody goes, yeah, that, you get energized.
Are you going to have Toshiba next?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. No, I was just thinking about what it means to be a creator.
Ooh, keep talking.
Well, when you think about it, majority of us, I mean, we're all creating, we just don't know it, right? But then all of a sudden, now you become aware, I am creating. Right? This is my baby. Whatever it is, I'm sure you and Dimitri and Rebecca feel this all the time, because you are, you know, cognizantly involved in this process of creating this new organization and all of that. But for the rest of us, here I am and I am creating, right? The energy, the passion that comes out. I have never known any of my friends who are artistic, they're writers or they're painters or ceramicists, or that don't get charged by that process of creation. You know, so we are, as people who are engaged in this process, I think we have to continuously remember that we are also creating, that every moment we spend with anybody else, like this we are here now, every moment is a moment of creation. And just be continuously keep that in front of our mind, because that in itself can be a huge driving factor.
Wow. Yes.
Several years ago, we had been at a conference. I think it was at a conference, but this concept of knowledge replaces resource, or knowledge amplifies resource. And I think about that a lot. In corollary ways, but the example that they were giving was, you know, if you looked at a steam engine from, you know, 1870, and you look at a diesel truck today, the steam engine, you know, weighed, you know, whatever, 50 tons, and used huge amount of resource to move, and the diesel truck weighs a tenth of that, carries as much or more cargo, is, you know, better in so many ways. Well, the only difference between it was information, was knowledge. That change in knowledge is what did it. So I think about applying that to what we're doing here. Is we're giving people knowledge that allows them to transform their resources, their internal resources, into something that is more efficient, more powerful, more whatever. And you were using the art metaphor, Shiva. That or the creation metaphor. Well, that to me, there's a connection between all of these. That allows us to be something more than what we are without it. So it's always sort of like running in the back of my mind. Okay, what are we creating here, and how does that benefit?
And I think it's because it's the we in creating. It's the same as when we're in our immersion programs or in hosting communities of practice. It's the we are together aiming to accomplish something together. Yet we may be out on our personal life stories and personal in this group, this cohort, whoever is a part of this, is out having a conversation with someone. Well, you have been fully supported in all the conditions for your success to go forth and have that conversation. No different than when people first come into immersion learning, all of the support you get to go out and try something new. Because we're all about to go out and try something new, to have a different type of conversation with people. And we'll create those conditions for success. And we can't wait till you come back to the nice little nest because we want to continue to share the stories with each other and then have this amazing system on the back end, Laura, that's the capturing of the stories and everything we need for conditions for success for those who come after us as well. So it's, you're getting nurtured and nourished here. And then we're going out and we're all going to be continually trying something new. And that's really exciting.
I want to add to that. And I know that you guys will sense what I'm feeling in this. There is power in my being part of this process. And here's why. Because I get to say, oh my God, did I ever fuck up? And I can't tell you the number of times each of our fellows have said, God, if you mess up, then it's okay for me to mess up. And I think when you were talking, Rebecca, and the fact that we get to support each other, the ability for everybody to hear that you and me, the teachers, oh my God, if you mess up, then I don't have to feel some, the whole it's a practice, not a perfect thing, that there's something very powerful in that. And you know, I just am feeling it. So the other thing that is occurring to me, and this is back to the people with whom we talk. My guess is if we have an hour's conversation with somebody, and we talk about changing the questions, at some point they're going to ask, so, you know, like what kind of questions? Because that's frequently what people, my guess is that they'll walk away with at least one new question they can ask and be excited to try it.
So Hildy, is that an example? Because one of the last things on the list of for whom's that you mentioned was the mission of creating the future. And that's something as a for whom I have frequently been confused about when I've seen it in writing. But as I hear everyone talking, I hear you, like those are all things that will forward the mission. So is that what you mean by the mission being a for whom?
Whenever I think about the mission being a for whom, it is exactly accomplishing the mission as a for whom. So if, what does this make possible? So let's ask that question right now and go through it. What will this, just this engagement process, just this having conversations make possible for creating the future's mission?
Well, if you talk about raising consciousness and creating a world that supports everyone to be the best they can be, like all these conversations will, I guess, theoretically, but we'll do that.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned the ripples, Laura, when we first were talking about the for whoms, you were mentioning the ripples of people that they talk to.
Everything that happens, every small conversation, every 12 minutes on the ski lift, every time you send someone away with one new question, changes the culture, the cultural landscape a little bit. And that in itself is furthering the mission.
Yep. What else will this make possible for the mission?
Going back a little bit, I really, really liked what you said about that question that people leave with. I mean, that's just such a strong, powerful proposal. So what would that question, I mean, in between they left and they stayed, or they can come back at that point in time and then they leave, you know, what's that question that carries on. No, that's a really strong idea, Hildy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that brings forward the mission. And part of the reason, Laura, that we always include the mission is we're always wanting to root ourselves and tether ourselves and remind ourselves of what Shiva was talking so much about last time, is that the power is in our vision for what's possible. And we've seen so many of these processes that start out and quickly devolve into a very, very narrow field of the thing we want to accomplish. And it becomes about money, and it becomes about volunteers or connections, or who can you connect us to a legislator or whatever. It becomes about the thing rather than about the broadest possible reminder that we have a reason for doing this. And sometimes just the ability to say to somebody, just this conversation that we're having here is furthering our mission. And so I'm really, really glad, because a big piece of our mission is just to have these kinds of conversations.
It also makes the mission alive. You know, it's not words up on the wall or in the strategic plan or whatever.
Yep.
Because it becomes a touchstone that is, it's working both ways. So it makes it a living thing that, you know, we're talking about the mission, and the mission becomes infused with what you add to it. So it's a dynamic process. And I think making that part of it creates an energy that makes it, an energy that makes it important that it be one of the for whoms.
I have to sort of think of this again as a personal level and what I'm sensing and what I'm feeling. And I'll give you just a little bit of background. You know, when I've been on boards of organizations, I find that it takes me about 2 years of, you know, once a month meetings and, you know, other meetings, conversations here and there, before I can truly live the mission of that organization. And by living the mission, it means that I'm breathing it, I'm eating it, I'm going out, I'm talking to anybody and everybody about it. And I'm talking from a position of, you know, complete trust and comfort and, you know, this is who I am, so I can talk about it, right? So these kinds of conversations really help myself, I can talk only about myself, but it helps me to sort of get to the point of saying, you know what, I am immersed in it to a point where it's oozing out of me naturally. I no longer need to sit and think about, okay, what was it I was supposed to say? You know, who was I supposed to talk to? Because it becomes, as Rebecca has said so many times, it becomes who you are, right? So that's what these conversations, to me, that's the benefit.
Yeah.
And double the size of the number of us going out and having conversations, and triple the size of the number of us going out in conversations. And the mission is now living and breathing. And that energy you're talking about, Shiva, that gets transmitted. It doesn't matter what we say, that energy gets transmitted.
Yeah. I really like the matrix for that. It's like being on the path and knowing the path. And it's that part where you can just be it and live it, and it's manifest.
Yeah.
I really like Shiva's standpoint on the definition. And I was thinking what Anne was saying about how she had read about it or seen a video 2 years ago and realized she needed to get ready for this level of game, which is perceptible. And you're connect and is appreciated, because it's also about understanding the value and putting the best of oneself and rising to the occasion. A great place to work, which is open, that inspires the exchange of information and collaboration and co-creation.
That leads to the in my mind, sort of kind of the last for whom. We've talked about the people with whom we have conversations. We didn't talk about the people with whom we don't have conversations, so I need to add that. And any of us who are doing the sleuthing, the ripples of the people with whom we talk, And the people who read the stories afterwards. What will our conversations make possible? What will this whole process make possible for the people who read the stories of that afterwards?
I think more hope that they don't have to completely reinvent the wheel. Like, I just imagine some random person searching the interwebs late one night looking for hope and information, and then finding us and being like, oh, thank God there's someone out there I could at least ask a question to.
So
I can relate to that. I can relate to that totally and completely. Well said. Well said. Hear, 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 hear.
So, Laura, what you're saying is that for the website, every page needs to have the tags that Google reads of hope, so that if people are searching for hope, they find us.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. I think, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to joke and say, I always forget to actually put hope into the search box.
It's so important. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Such a.
So that'll be the next. I need to try that now, because every once in a while driving along, I do ask Google, tell me a joke. So now I'll have to give me something to hope for. That'll be interesting to see what Google makes that what else
I'll will our, Google.
What else will reading our stories afterwards make possible for folks? Who might those people be who will read those stories afterwards?
Well, I'd like to share with you a thought. I'm always maximizing the returns and minimizing the effort and simplifying the process. And I think when somebody looks at it later on down the road, it's just a colloquial exchange of where the world was at and where we were at and what we were doing underneath the umbrella of creating the future and Hilde's stewardship, and set up a framework to work together, build together, create quality communication and exchange. I mean, there's just such a storm out there. I'm just, again, I circle back to listening to you guys get laugh. I mean, in the middle of the challenging, resolve all the technical issues with Zoom, we're still wild, wild west with all this technology. But see you just resolve in a positive light, and it's just the quality exchange, and start building better together, better relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think there's also the very simplistic, I want to do an engagement campaign, how do I do that? So at the very, very how-to end of the spectrum, to be able to see a case study from start to finish.
I'm thinking that for some sort of engagement, I've been thinking about executing some sort of practical project and executing a communication strategy around it, where we can show what is happening, sort of like a live white paper, and we can innovate in the communication strategy, and we can control, that would generate content for us, because really part of the social media is resolving the humongous cost of development of the content. So if we have this a cohesive narrative base that simplifies with an editorial guideline, and then we can have free, paid, and earned, and we can orchestrate, because really the returns are going to be in proper orchestration, but we would have the tools to execute. We could pay here. We could do some Twitter. We could do some LinkedIn. I think we would do really, really good on LinkedIn. I'm thinking a communication strategy for my network, which would be a broad appeal. I'll probably have something like for next week or something like that for, just something like laser focus.
Well, and what it comes down to is the people who are reading those stories see what's possible. See what's
agreed.
Possible, regardless of where they read it, whether they read it in social media, whether they read it because we're not there yet, but wherever they read it, wherever they see it, wherever they hear it, I think that, you know, seeing what is possible.
Yeah, I came across a communication matrix. My God, there's some incredible content online. What an amazing place the internet, but I came across this grid for producing content, short, medium, long term, about us, about what we're doing and about the product or how we do it in the product. We'll talk about it, but we can, yeah, we could, so we can create some variables and make it really easy to manage, just so we don't have intensive resources, just the quality of all you wonderful people creating content. I just get a little excited at the potential.
It is. Sorry. It is. And we're not worried about managing. And we're not worried about managing it, and we're not worried about being efficient with it yet. We're really just looking at making sure of what all of this makes possible for those folks. I do want to get back to Laura. You had had suggested early on, one of the for whoms is really everybody out in the universe that these people ripple from. The people, so you know, I have a conversation with Mary Jane, and Mary Jane has a conversation with her husband. And her husband has a conversation with their three kids, and et cetera, and et cetera. If one question changes or whatever, what do those conversations make possible? What do those ripples, what are we making possible in the one conversation? What are we making possible for the ripple conversations?
More joy.
Better outcomes.
Talk about outcomes.
Well, I was thinking in the terms of the parent and child conversations. Mm. They're so, so important, and they're so often unsuccessful because the communication is not open and trusting.
The number of times that the stories of our intercommunication, so in the conversation with Mary Jane or whomever we're having the conversation, Mary Jane suddenly has become our person. invariably, it will come up that catalytic thinking is about how we be with each other no matter where we are. And Rebecca will tell a story about her and Scott, and I will tell a story about me and my mom. And those are the ones that resonate, where people immediately know this is, you know, Dimitri frequently tells the stories about whichever clerk he happened to meet in whatever grocery store that day and the cool thing they got to talk about. And those are the kinds of day-to-day interactions that you're absolutely right, Anne, that's what's going to stick with folks. That's the thing they're going to take into their conversation with their kid, their conversation with their mom. I wound up with the conversation I had with the organizational psychologist yesterday. We wound up talking about her aging parents and the fact that they're fighting assisted living, and they're ailing. Neither of them is in good shape, and they really need to. They're you know, one fall away from it not being good for either of them. And what does it take to have that conversation? And
I wanted to. I'm sorry if I, yeah. But I wanted to jump in. I'm going through a similar situation, and down here it's Bami, and they make them wait in these long lines, and I walk by, but I've got my father with cancer and stuff like that. They're getting old, 90 and 80, and I'm trying to do 300 million things, and you have to choose who you can help, because you can't help everybody. But it broke my heart that there was an older woman that said, I'm just going to go home and die, because she was just waiting in the long 50 line, you know, 50 people. And just how they're treating older, the system is just not, it's not humane. It's just, oh my God, until you get all the paperwork. Once you get all the paperwork and stuff squared away, but there's a big bump there that's something we can address. I mean, from a practical standpoint, you know, that's something that would probably be a good place where we could apply catalytic thinking as a practical exercise.
Rebecca's on it. Rebecca's already,
sorry.
On that one, but yeah, it is really those conversations that we have in the day to day. I think that's if that's something that that we can leave with somebody in one conversation, and the ripples that come from that. Shiva, I can see your brain going like this.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you my own personal example very quickly. My husband is a professor, a clinical professor of pediatrics, and as part of that, he teaches various healthcare professionals, from residents, doctors, nurse practitioners, healthcare providers, and all of that. And he was working on a lecture he's going to be giving next week. And it's about collaboration between professionals. And, and his approach was, okay, these are the things the professionals need to do to collaborate with each other. And the only suggestion I made to him was, well, but what do those professionals need to know and feel and be before they can collaborate with each other? Which then has led to this 20-minute, thing that he's going to be presenting to a group of 300 health professionals about, what do you need? And engaging the audience in actually coming up with their own needs and what I need to feel, what I need to know, and all of that. So to just open that conversation amongst a group of professional healthcare providers. So just an example.
Wow. Oh my God.
That's very, very just powerful. That's super powerful. That's big. That's big. That's hardcore.
That's just an example.
Congratulations.
But I want to know
that was a great question. That was a great question. Yeah.
Here we have the seven of us who, and anyone watching this recording, who is now delighted in that story, because I'm just noting again to all of us, and Laura, we've talked about this, everyone in the room has talked about this, the power of documenting and sharing the stories, because we know this stuff works and this works everywhere. So then what it looks like when we actually scale out is we have a team of people, it's put into the system. Shiva and her husband's story changed the question, changed his entire presentation, and we would go and document and share that story in a variety of whatever ways. Yet we all take that story, because when people say, well, I don't get this, tell me how, give me an example. Yeah. We have so many examples, yet we're doing the passing down of the storytelling to whoever's in the room. So I love the story, Shiva, and it happens in every single time we're all together. We have all these stories come up because we are being this in our life.
Yeah.
Rebecca and Shiva, I want to share my screen for just a quick second. And this is spelled correctly, Rebecca. I don't know if you can see it or not.
Your monitor?
You're shopping for a monitor?
No, this one. You're not seeing the right thing.
He would like you to buy him a monitor.
No. Wherever it went, I was sharing this. I don't know why I didn't share. Let's try it again. Share that.
Almost.
The next one is his Maserati. So
there it is.
How's this
one? Vroom 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 vroom.
There we go.
If you guys don't mind, I'm good with some sound effects.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dimitri.
So the power of this is where this ends up. Is it started with a question and it ends up with changing his entire presentation. And all you did is ask him a simple question. And I agree, Rebecca, wholeheartedly, having a bank of stories is the power to transform people in a way that it goes back to the campfire.
Okay, I'm gonna take control now and I'm gonna crack a whip like I didn't have control before. I have the illusion of control. Because I want to be mindful of time, we have one more group of For Whoms that we did not talk about, and that is the people who gracefully decline our invitation to have a conversation. What will that invitation make possible just by virtue of the invitation rather than the assumption that all the good stuff's going to happen in the conversation? What can just that invitation make possible? Especially for the person who, doesn't have time for the conversation.
Well, that is actually happening with a friend of mine here in Fresno. And it is, what it is it gives that person an awareness of the possibilities and a connection to them. that can be used later or may not be, but it's there. And that I think is critically important. I would just like to add to Shiva's story briefly, if I may, Hildy, that of the 300 healthcare professionals, someone in that audience is going to connect, because there's always someone. And that is, so changing everything really means changing everything.
So. I can speak to the power of standing in front of 300 people and one person in a red sweater over in the corner of my screen connecting. Actually, that's two of them, Shiva too, yeah.
Well, if you have the invitation, yes. You are, it's everything. You're honored, you're seen, you're heard. We know that the kind of language we would put in there is not formula, it's individual to that person. So they will get very much the explicit why I want to talk to you, you amazing human.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Which I think to kind of build on that, I also think that it is, although they may decline that particular invitation, it's like a reverse invitation to come back to me. Like, I have to say no to you today for whatever reason, but I now feel completely comfortable to say, call Rebecca up and say, hey, you know that time I couldn't get together? I'd like to get together now. So it's almost like you're keeping the channel open.
Yeah, there's something powerful about it simply being an opportunity for us to make a connection with somebody. Just to say, you know, we haven't talked in a long time, but it always sticks in my mind. We had that conversation about blah. And you know, with, okay, so let's look at people that we don't know yet, that we meet via social media. So if we think about how are we going to get to know some of the people that we want to get to know, we meet via social media, we have a Twitter conversation back and forth or a LinkedIn conversation back and forth, however that happens, which is very easy because I can do it at the convenience of my desk while I'm doing six other things. And I say, you know, I'm working on a project and your insights really, I'd like to sort of explore some things together. And they say, I don't have time. So let's look at that scenario there where it's not necessarily somebody that we're reconnecting with that we already know, which is very cool. Somebody that we're connecting with that we've built sort of a new relationship with. What does the invitation itself, whether they say yes or no, make possible? In that case.
For them.
I would have to offer the sensation that the door is always open and that there's a place where once you're ready and you got, because it's just going a little bit back to what Anne said and convey that quality and values and principles and say, hey, there's a place there for me. Mm-hmm. So, hey, right now, just, you know, the whole place. And that was a little bit what happened to me. I mean, I'm most of my looking forward, there's things that I approach from a professional standpoint, but really it's about the personal experience that I had and the pleasure that has been connecting with all of you. And how warm it was, and just the quality of exchange and knowledge. I mean, I listened. You guys are just really amazing, talented people, and it's just a huge learning opportunity and building relationships opportunity, and having.
What else, guys?
This one person that we don't know, and we've said, hey, I'd like to talk to you because I think your insights are terrific and I'd like to explore this with you. If that person has the wall up because that's what life has taught them to do, I would turn that question back to the group and say, all right, the wall is up. They say, no, I don't have time. What have we done for them other than to say there's somebody out there who values my opinion?
Mm-hmm.
That may be the end of it.
And that may be. Yeah. That may be. I will tell you that I get I don't even want to tell you how many requests I get from people who find me fascinating and want to talk. And I'm flattered, but you know, I got the same 24 hours in my day as everybody else has. And I find that I have to be very, very judicious. My test is if I'm curious. It
has never had
anything to do with you know, I remember a conversation with somebody on a back channel on Twitter. I had no idea who they were. Obviously, we were following each other on Twitter. This is several years ago. Had a conversation, and they said, you know, I've been told that we have a lot of people in common and that we should get together. And I'm going to be home in Tucson soon. And could we get together? And I'm like, okay, I'll have to like find time for coffee, and I'm doing blending, you know, and I'm thinking about all of the, okay, how am I going to fit this in? And fortunately, he then says, and then I'm heading back to Nepal. And I went, yeah, okay, we can meet. And so it's you know, for me, as somebody who is often asked that question, and it could just be me personally, you know, is there something that's tweaking my curiosity, that I know that I, if nothing else, I'm going to enjoy that hour?
There's also something that we haven't talked about, which is the connection to that person. And if the introduction to that person is, Rebecca, you know, thought you might be interested in this. So that there is that as well. So, and Hilly, I'm just keying off of the curiosity. You know, why would Rebecca think I'd be interested in this? And I already have a relationship with her. So I think there's that component as well in terms of the, I don't know if it's strengthening the relationship, mm-hmm. But the relationship between mm-hmm. Rebecca and this person, mm-hmm. by virtue of the fact that they are referring me, or whatever the word would be. So there's that component.
So there's so far we've got, we would be connecting with somebody we already know in some way. We would be connecting with somebody that we've met and started a conversation with via social media. Because if the first conversation we have is, hi, I think you're interesting, which I get a lot of. Hi, I think you're interesting. Could we have a phone call? The answer is going to be no. But we've met and engaged and had a conversation with over social media over time. And then the third one being we met them via another person. Somebody interesting.
Totally. Yeah, you are very interesting. That's the truth. I mean, it's really the truth, and it's amazing. But yeah, you have that seduction part in the communication. Working the CRM from a practical standpoint, the CRM buckets, something like that, we would just basically a follow-up, you know, just talking from a practical standpoint, define, and maybe a funnel where we all look at, can analyze and work together the batch, because this is going to generate a whole bunch of contacts. And I really like the quality of the segmentation. I mean, I'm really learning a lot. And just using the question and finessing each stage in the relationship from all the unique varieties in an inbound space. It's a good management of the process. Excellent choice. Excellent manner. So, yeah, just from a practical operational standpoint, I wanted to add that.
Sure.
Is there a fourth person, and that's the person that we would like to know?
What I was thinking is that's the person we would get to know via social media.
Totally.
Okay.
But tell me what you're thinking.
Cool. Have that person on the list. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, or else it's out there and we read about an article about them in the Stanford Journal or something.
Well, and you're right, because there's going to be the people who stay away from social media.
Right.
And so that's going to be the, you know, and we're getting into the weeds here. We're getting into the how, so I want to pull us back up. But, you know, that's going to be the easy, who do we know that, you know, the 6 degrees of separation. Mm-hmm. And there's really only three, I think. So
I mean, knowing just listening to everybody, I would imagine that we would probably do some limited outreach to ensure the proper execution and finesse the final details. Because I imagine once everything well matured, this is a question of really at the beginning, picking up the phone and making a few calls.
Right. But But it clearly, I think that the people who say no to the invitation, if nothing else, just the what it speaks to is the invitation itself having some, like you said, Shiva, I'm honored they asked. The invitation itself being a thing that generates something.
If I can add, you know, I've had a lot of these invitations. Most of them are asking for money.
Of course they are.
And a couple of times that I have engaged, the elements that were important to me were, and we are getting into the house and the nitty-gritties, but one of the things you said, you and I, people tell me I have to connect with you because you and I have a lot in common, right? And the element of humor has been always very important to me. You know, when it's not about, it's not just about this thing, right?
Well, the thing that Laura was talking about, the networking thing, right?
It's not about that, but it's about it. You know, to me, when you bring in that element of humor, you automatically are connecting at a different level. Yeah, which has nothing to do with what it is I want from you, what it is you might want from me, but it has to do with, let's laugh together about something, right? So there are many things that can be included in an invitation to connect, right, that engage people at levels that have nothing to do necessarily with what you want to talk to them about, right, but engage them nonetheless.
Right. Very, very much so.
To remind us all, when we invite someone, if we don't know them, we don't know their story because we've never spent time together. So when someone says no, we can't leap to the assuming the worst, which we often do. We don't know. We have no idea what's going on in their life, in their universe. We can't infer and mince our, like, we will high potential what the invitation looks like and put it forward, and it will be kind and generous and human. And if someone says no, they said no. Unless we know otherwise.
that's all we know. Yeah, and that's why, again, what do we want the invitation itself to make possible, that somebody feels? Because if this is about engagement, then at every point, every single thing we do has the potential to somehow engage somebody in a powerful way. I hate to say this, but we're almost out of time, and I want to spend some time reflecting. Go ahead, Shiva, finish up.
I just wanted to say that in the fundraising world, where I've been involved in for 20 years, there's never a no. It's just not now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or not in the way you expected.
Right. Not like this. Not now.
Yeah.
Not with this.
Yes. Yeah. And that's pretty cool. As we are doing here, I'd like to do two different reflections today. I'd like to do a quick go around, and I mean quick because Dimitri and I have got to be out of here in 15 minutes. A quick go around how you're feeling after today's conversation. Let me do something first, very, very quickly, is what's next. So that we have a sense of what's next. We'll be looking at next time the conditions that need to be in place for these high potential outcomes. So what do people need to feel? What do they need to have? The Shiva questions. What do they need to believe? What do they need to know? For anybody watching who is not familiar with catalytic thinking, when we ask questions of what needs to be in place for this high potential outcome to happen, we understand that what has to be in place has to do with them and not us. So it's not, in order for somebody to feel more joy, isn't, well, I'll, you know, give them a present. It's what do they need in order to feel more joy? What do they need in order to feel more hope? What do they need to know? What do they need to believe? And so we'll start building that ladder backwards next time in terms of what do folks need in order to accomplish it, be all of this cool stuff that we are hoping to create here. From there, walking backwards beyond that, we will eventually, actions will become very, very clear. Actions will tell us what they are. We don't have to go fishing for actions. The actions will become apparent. And as we look at this, one of the things, and we're so grateful that Laura is here, one of the things that is going to be clear as we look at the actions and say, okay, what do we need in order to do those actions? One of them is clearly going to be systems and protocols and database and et cetera. And so the ability to start talking about that then, Laura's been taking copious notes for weeks now and doing this with her brain. So we'll just start engaging that conversation, but it'll come out of, again, coming backwards from, you know, what do people need to know and believe? And then what are we going to do to create that? And so that's what's coming up soon, on Creating the Future TV. So if we could do a quick go around of what you all are feeling about our conversation today. And then we'll do some reflection beyond that through catalytic listening. Anybody got, what are you, you know, couple words, what are you feeling today?
I really liked when you said creating the future TV. That sounded really nice. That sounded really, really, really nice. And be here, share with you that, all of you, is a wonderful pleasure.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you for being here, Sergio. Who else? What are you feeling?
I'd say a better sense of clarity.
About?
About who we are thinking of engaging. What is the thinking process around that? What is it that I need to feel to be able to be a part of that engagement? So all positive stuff, good stuff.
Good.
What she said.
Stinker.
Yeah, I feel like it's a relief is the wrong word, but appreciation that there is this consistency in the model that, so that I, while I did not, while it was a very rich conversation for me, and I was very interested in hearing it, there were no like completely out of left field surprises, like, holy shit, I never even thought about that. What am I going to do about that? And so it was like a soothing of my overactive to-do list brain to know that, okay, we're going through our own process, and guess what? It works.
If we could be soothing, we are happy to be soothing. Becca, how about you?
Delighting in collective wisdom, the strength we get here together.
Dimitri, what are you feeling?
Clarity.
Mm-hmm.
On that, we've heard this, I've heard this many, 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 many times, and every time there is a new clarity with it. So that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, and I'm, it, related to clarity, I'm feeling context. I feel like I have a hole, because it's really easy to get the pieces parts, and it's really easy to go down the rabbit hole of actions and doing and how to, and technologies and whatever's, having the context to start with is always feels very much like you, Laura. Just sort of, I can breathe in it. I can breathe in it. Looking at this through the lens of catalytic listening, outcomes, strengths, values, what strengths are you hearing in our conversation today?
Resonance.
Talk more.
That keying off of Laura's comment that there was no surprise. Mm. In a good way, there was no surprise, that there is a kind of a harmony of thinking here between, you know, seven souls that are on the little screen here, that there is harmony and there is resonance and there's a consistency of approach and message and thinking and whatever.
So. Cool. Thank you. What else are you guys seeing as strengths that we talked about today?
The power of an authentic invitation.
Mm-hmm.
I I was going to say something along the lines of the power of a non-transactional relationship. This is basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. I'm also looking at strengths being stories, which they always are. And one of the things that I'm loving about our meetings is that there is at some point and frequently more than one point in our conversations, somebody comes up with a phrasing of something that we can all then take. And, you know, Anne, you reflecting on Shiva's, you know, will you create with me? Will you come create with me? Shiva, you're talking about the fact that opening doors will open all of us. There's something powerful in those phrasings that that we can repeat. And I think that's a huge strength.
I would talk about the strength in the commitment to the principles of this practice.
Mm-hmm.
It is so easy to jump and say, okay, now what are we going to do? Right. And in fact, I would admit that from time to time I go, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's all part of excitement about it. It has nothing to do with, you know. But that commitment to stay with the process and stay with the principles and follow what we know works.
Yeah, you know, it's remarkable the amount to which we are so easily hijacked by habit, and they're all thought habits, and the reactive parts of our brain. And the reactive parts of our brain are so hardwired. And it's why, Laura, you and I, the words that we were using is, this is soothing. This lets that part of the brain just quiet down. You don't need to fire or get, and knowing that we're going to get there. And we'll get there. You know, it's not that we're going to have these wonderful esoteric conversations and then go, yeah, well, we're not going to do anything. There's comfort in that, but oh my God, that part of the brain shape is like, it's a half billion years old.
Well, and I would also add that we just all created something together. So let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's a strength. Yes. Well, and what that speaks to is the strengthening of the relationships among us and the sharing and the learning about each other. What about values? What values did you hear us articulate today? If you look through your notes or you think about it. I heard the value of joy.
I heard a lot about authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Kindness.
Hmm. Yep. What other values were articulated today?
The worth of another person for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity.
Talk about integrity. Tends to be a buzzword. That's why I make people define it.
So the through the consistency of the framework, and also the way each of us, or my experience, try to remember to walk the talk the walk, and walk the talk, whatever, however that works. So that they're all the different kinds of integrity. It's a truth. It's a honesty, no matter what happens.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I also would like to add to what Laura just said about integrity. I think the other element of that is not being afraid to be known for that. Even if it could mean that we would lose things, funders, you know, people.
Yeah. Yeah. The deep intention to walk our talk. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only way. There has to be a harmony in between what we say and what we do and what we think. There's an implicit language in that ability. I like fidelity as well. Like as far as when I think integrity, it's just that that fidelity in between those different things. You know, what we think, what we say, and what we do.
Yep. Any other values that you guys heard? I heard lots of value in relationship, in just the value of just being in relationship with other humans.
Well, and I think specifically in honoring relationships versus transactional relationships.
Love that honoring.
The value of listening catalytically. So there's not, what we don't see are knee jerks, interruptions. Everyone is letting each other speak and then asking, tell us more about what you're thinking. We're walking the talk. So
listening is very, very complex. I mean, part of my emotional and spiritual journey is on my own through reading, through connecting with others. I've been lucky to meet like a Sufi that was really evolved. He was he was Venetian. So from the very modern island of Venetia, where these guys innovated during decades in so many in art, in culture, in business. And he was born there, and he was sort of a Sufi for me. So as we go, and I was like, always part of my I would work on myself. We all work on ourselves every day. It was like, improve my vision. And it was like 5 years improving to see better, to realize how difficult and important it is to listen. It's just an amazing, and how easy it is to hear what you want. It's just that from a perception standpoint, supply some practical knowledge there. As part of a communication strategy or some internal work, because being able to separate the reality from the perception or the thought is a process in itself.
Yep. Yep. And that is catalytic listening. That is the entire practice in catalytic thinking of catalytic listening.
I think the proposal is awesome.
Last question is, what outcomes did you hear? As we were talking, we talked almost entirely today about outcomes, what we want things to make possible. What did you guys hear?
I hope you don't mind. I give feedback a lot. I mean, part of the relationships that I build, feedback is an important component. Positive feedback is a challenge. Adding to the construct, because normally the person doing the show and tell has much more hours of execution on it, and it takes time to process. I mean, it's just part of the whole thing and the construct, but it's really solid in all senses. Just the communication and just the idea of this open source design of creating the future, and the combination of the strategy and the techniques and your knowledge and your experience. I got to say it again, I'm just really happy to be here. It's such a huge learning experience.
I love that open source co-creation of creating the future.
No, totally, because I'm thinking a language. I'm already thinking a narrative. We've been working. I've been working on implementing Kaizen innovation events in organizations to manage the velocity of change and assure quality and performance for high level environments like ours. And part of that communication is just fundamental. So you know, the construct that you have, and these, so basically just working together, I'm thinking of a narrative. It's transmedia narrative, so that we can create a good communication strategy through an editorial guideline, simplify the process, lower the cost, maximize the returns, and really create some quality content. I think that the basis of the team, of all the resources here sitting on this Zoom call, is just amazing.
Excellent, excellent. Any other outcomes that you guys have heard from our conversation today?
There's pretty much all outcomes.
All outcomes.
Good.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
It's time.
Yeah, really focused.
Well, any other last words? I'm going to take the last words because we're 5 minutes over when Dimitri and I need to go. And that is that I'm just deeply grateful for the conversation today. This has been perfect and excellent. And next time we will start on time. Technology, we will start on time. Where is that tech guy?
If you need some tech guy, let me know. That helps out. I mean, it's just the wild, wild west getting all that stuff ready.
We will not be leaving early next time. And so if 2 weeks looks good for you guys, we can confirm via calendar, but just deeply, deeply grateful to all of you. And many thanks.